The following program is a presentation of Short Track America.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome back to another edition of ASA Fastlane. I'm Jack Smith. My co-host tonight, Terry Wall, is indisposed, and he'll be back with us next week and as we get this thing going. And tonight we're going to talk to a few guys who've been to the ASA Late Model South Division before, and one who hasn't. Patrick Starpoli will join us. This will be Patrick's first attempt to qualify for an ASA Late Model event. He's a Florida racer who's been racing trucks, and this will be his very first try at the late models. And he's been doing some testing, and we'll talk to him. And we also talked to David Wilson, another youngster who qualified pretty good up at Bronson but ran into some troubles. And he's had it off to a rocky start in 2007, but with the support of his family and the people behind him, we think David will come out all right at the end. And also joining us tonight, our two veteran race car drivers from the Tampa, Florida area, Jeremy Gerstner and also Travis Wilson, who's actually from Lakeland, Florida originally, now lives in North Carolina where he works with the Ganassi Racing Team, and we'll talk to both of those guys a little bit later. And this week it's finally time for the ASA Late Model Series South Division race at the Watermelon Capital Speedway, Watermelon Bowl 125. It kicks off Saturday night. The race itself begins around 9:15, but there's a lot of things leading up to that. You got some local racing there at the Bandoleros, the mini stock features. Then you have the GM Performance Parts Shootout, the 25 lap. That's for the folks who weren't able to qualify, and that should be pretty crazy because there's going to be 40 some teams there trying to qualify. And I've never seen as much nervousness for a race of this nature as I have leading up to this one. There's a lot of these youngsters are a little bit nervous about trying to make this field, and it should be interesting. But we're going to get things started right now. We're talking with David Wilson. David is from Sarasota, Florida. He's had some success in the super late models in Florida, which is one of the toughest places to race super late models. And let's talk to David. David, are you prepared for Watermelon Capital?
I think we're pretty ready for it. We went up and tested it about a week ago, and car handled real good, around the corners real good, and we tested with Fontaine, and we were quite a bit faster, so we're pretty good.
Yeah, and now you've been racing around your home state of Florida here in since the Bronson ASA race. You've been doing some racing around Florida.
We've only managed to hit one race since Bronson, two races since Bronson. One at DeSoto and one Sunbelt race at New Smyrna. Both ended in the NF. All four races this year have been so far, but hopefully our luck will change. We qualified second and fifth at the two, and DeSoto we made it to the last lap and then fell out. And then in New Smyrna we led about 40 laps, I'd say, and second and third passed me, and I just rode in third for a while. I saved my stuff to the end. About lap 107, I blew a tire and hit the wall in New Smyrna, so that ended our night there. So
what will is there anything different that the way you guys will approach the race at Watermelon Capital as opposed to at Bronson with the ASA?
Yes, definitely more patience and a calmer attitude towards driving the car.
Yeah.
So what? You can expect to see a difference.
Excuse me?
You can expect to see a different driver.
Is that right? So what was your take on Watermelon after you went up there and practiced for a little bit?
On say that again.
What was your take on Watermelon Capital Speedway? You know, up there testing and so forth. What was your take on the place?
Well, I ran the truck there, so I knew it before I went there. But I liked it a lot. It's a very nice facility. Nice corners and longer on the straightaways than a lot of the trucks you run. So I like that.
Yeah.
But nice facility overall. The pits are all paved. That's real nice.
Yeah, that's cool. So you guys, same team, Dick Anderson, and who's going to be your spotter this time?
I'm not sure this time. I don't have one yet.
Yeah, I gotcha. So you're still getting it together.
That's correct.
All right, David. Well, we wish you the best of luck. We'll see you up there, and maybe we'll see you in the winner's circle, man.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
Hi, I'm Jim Dygert from Keels and Wheels Magazine. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
All right, we're back here with the ASA Fast Lane Racing Show. Jeremy Gerstner, he made a trip to Bronson's Bull Ring for the opening ASA South Division race, and he's getting ready to go up to Watermelon Capital Speedway. Welcome to the ASA Fastlane, Jeremy.
Excellent, excellent. How you doing, Jack?
We're doing good, man. Are you excited?
Yeah, actually, I can't wait for this weekend. I wish tomorrow was Friday, so go up there and do some practicing and get the weekend on the road already. I'm basically went and did a car show last night for one of my new sponsors, and we're actually out here in the shop right now loading everything up, getting ready to head out Friday morning at 7 a.m.
Yeah, now things didn't necessarily go as well as you had planned over at Bronson, so this has probably been a long layoff here, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the old saying is you're only as good as your last race. Well, our last race definitely didn't go as planned. We had, you know, practiced all day in the top 10 at the very worst, and, you know, we were fifth fastest for a long, long time there. And then we went to qualify, and I guess one of the guys that qualified in front of us had some kind of skid plate they had developed for to keep the motor from bottoming out because of the way the suspension traveled, and it came off, and he climbed the wall and flipped the car over and oiled the track down with that Mobile Wind synthetic. And when they put the World Dry on it, I guess they thought they had the track clean enough, and we went to go out to qualify and about took the wall down both laps. It was basically almost like a controlled slide all the way around there, so I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, basically we had talked to Ron Varney, and he had said because they had so many cars that they're going to start a new program this year, and they're going to try to make it to where they, you know, had the actual DMPP shootout. They would actually race their way into, you know, the top two would race their way into the actual, you know, the actual A main, and which made it kind of nice for us. Even though I was starting the back, we had raced our way up to third, and, you know, the guys were getting kind of rowdy out there, which kind of made Ron Varney upset. But they tore a bunch of cars up, and I got collected in a couple of them, unfortunately, too, and tore some body panels off. But you know, that's all part of the course with racing. Just you hate to tear it up before the main race. But, I mean, we tore some fenders off, but, you know, taped it all up and actually raced away, finished second, raced away into the A main. And, you know, from that point, it was back to, you know, at least we're in the main race that we showed up the race in. And we raced our way up to, like, 16th and trying to pass for 15th, caution come out. And they get this RSS safety system. It's like a light system that comes on. And from my understanding, the guy that was behind me, I guess his didn't work properly. And whenever it come out, I got on the brakes, you know, to the light, and he ran me over and flattened the right rear with, like, 15 to go. So we went in on a green flag pit stop, which at Bronson, is, you know, they don't really have a pit lane. So we lost 8 laps. But when we got back out there, we still finished 18th overall, but they paid, you know, it was 21st because we were, like, behind 4 guys that were more than, you know, that were laps, you know, because they weren't laps down. They were actually on the lead lap, and I was, like, 8 laps down pitting on the green.
Gotcha. So now just like your buddy that won that race, Rob Partolo, yeah, you're a veteran of the short track wars in the Sunshine State. Tell people that may not know much about Jeremy Gerstner, like, how did you come into racing and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I started age six. You know, my parents, we lived up in Illinois, and I ran, you know, TQ midgets, quarter midgets, and, you know, dabbled in the USAC a little bit. And when we moved to Florida, you know, we had a local track here, you know, Sunshine Speedway, which is where me and Bartolo, you know, that was like our battlegrounds in the earlier ages of our, you know, our like, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. We raced many stocks together, you know, and then we moved up to the modified together with late models. And, you know, we ran a little bit of late model stuff, not a whole lot of Sunshine. And, you know, we've always competed against each other. But, you know, it's funny to say that about Bartolo, the guy that won the race. He actually went and did some testing last week, and he gave me some input, and we tried to help each other out on different races and stuff. So I think we're both going to be very competitive this weekend. But, yeah, back to, you know, what you were saying about, you know, growing up through the ranks. I mean, I ran a, you know, limited schedule of Hooters Pro Cup. I mean, yeah, I am going for Rookie of the Year in this series. And unlike some of these kids that are really, you know, really, I mean, they're basically getting behind a late model for their first time. You know, and it's kind of difficult to be out there with some of those kids because they don't, it's not so much that they don't have the, you know, have the skills to do it. They just don't have the feeling for the big cars. And they, you know, they're used to like either a parts pro truck with a little bit less horsepower and that doesn't turn as quick and, you know, doesn't, you know, have the speed like these cars got. But I mean, you can definitely feel your way out. You know who you can trust to run outside, inside with. And I mean, and I learned a lot that first race. I learned how professional the ASA series really was. You know, everybody says how great it is, and if you actually go there, you don't really get the real feel for it. And with me going to that first race, they were very strict on the rules, unlike some of the other, you know, some of the other series that are in Florida. You know, it's hard for them to police it because they don't have enough officials. But with ASA, I mean, you get what, you know, what they say is black and white, it better be right, or basically you're either going to add weight or you're going to be illegal at the end of the night. I mean, and, you know, at Braun today really didn't show who was the actual fastest car, I don't think, because it was so hard to pass and so difficult. I mean, I worked my way up through the pack, you know, with guys slipping up or guys getting taken out. I mean, that's basically how I gained position. But I think you're going to find that Cordele, it's going to be a racer's race because it's going to be side-by-side, you know, two or three wide action throughout the whole race because, I mean, I ran modifieds there at Cordele before, and I honestly could tell you that I ran on the outside with Dwayne Dempsey side-by-side for 16 laps, and neither one of us, you know, would give an inch. So I think it's going to be a really, really good race at Cordele, so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
How many times have you raced up there, Jeremy?
At Cordele, actually, I've only been there one time with a modified, but, I mean, we love the track. I mean, now I heard they even repaved it, which to me, before, the track was so smooth. I have no clue why they paved it unless they're just trying to make it a little bit quicker. But, I mean, with the all-paved infield, I mean, there was no dust. I mean, you know, I'm a fanatic about keeping my equipment nice and clean and, you know, always organized, so tracks like that, you know, it's like almost to me, it's like a little mini Bristol. I mean,
yeah, that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, basically, I mean, you had the same theory, you know, other than the fact it doesn't have a back straightaway wall where, you know, if someone was to blow up or if you had to, you know, do an immediate turn to get out of someone's way, you could kind of go over the wall and come back.
Yeah, I was talking to some of the people that have been up there practicing, and from what I understand, this is going to be one lightning-fast track. They were talking about doing faster times in practice than previous track records.
Yeah, that's kind of the input I got from Rob Bartolo. Actually, Ron Summers, the guy who owns this car, told me that they were turning an easy 30, which last year I think fast time was a 16:25. I mean, although we do have, you know, a little bit better rocker arms this year, and we do have that 1-inch spacer plate that ASA allowed us to go to be competitive with the Ford, you know, and so, I mean, that probably helped pick up a little bit of time, but I think with the new pavement, I think it really, you know, really, really helped, us, you know, the whole track being a 2 and 3 degree track again. And I kind of think that's, you know, the whole theory behind Bristol redoing their track too, and you know, that's another thing. I'm so ecstatic now that I think of this new sponsor. We're putting our second car together, and it's the week before our Southern Division Rougemont race in North Carolina. But we're going to try to make that Bristol show, which I'm sure there'll be 80 to upwards over 100 of cars to try to make that race.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, are you ready to talk about your new sponsor yet?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, I did a car show. He sponsors a local, like they got Street Rods and old Hot Rods. They sponsor at a Pine Grove family restaurant. We did last night. We presented the ASA late model with the new sponsor, Chewing Inspection Services. They do home inspections and stuff, and they're out of Tampa, Florida, which is like 10 miles from where I live here in Wesley Chapel.
What is the name of it again?
It's called Chewing Inspection Services.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, we just sent out a press release to ASA, and from my understanding, Matt Pryor, he already posted it on the ASA website today, which I mean, that's what I was saying. That just shows you the kind of series it is. I mean, if you send a press release to them within, 24 hours, they already posted it on the Internet. I mean, that's great. I mean, I was ecstatic about that. And, I can see they're more about, they're more interested in trying to support the racer like you guys are. They're get the name out there, help the, young guys, like myself, try to, make the series work and make better publicity for ourselves so we can do the stepping stones. My goal is within 3 years to be at the minimal introduced into a Busch team, or at the very least, I want to be running a full series ARCA. That's my goal.
And how old are you now, Jeremy?
Actually, I'm 34. I mean, people say you're getting a late start, but if you look at guys like Gillian, guy that that picked up that ride with the M&M car with Robert Yates. I mean, he's in his late 30s, so I mean, it's still a chance to do it. I mean, I don't count myself out. I mean, I joke with my fiance all the time about if I make it to like 38 and I ain't made it to Cup by then, I'm probably just going to be a short track racer, like some of the other guys that gave it their all and didn't make it, and they're just running the local show.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was a few weeks ago, we were talking with Wayne Morris, who is. I told him that he was probably going to end up being the Bobby Gill of the ASA ASA Late Model Series. He laughed about that.
Yep. I was excited to see him, come on board with ASA. I mean, he was very competitive at that Bronson race. I mean, but like I say, it was so hard to pass. I mean, everybody kind of just rode in line. I mean, it worked in favor for Farlow because he definitely wasn't the fastest car all day, and he wasn't the fastest car in the race. But I mean, like, track position at Bronson is so critical. I mean, the funny thing is I was just noticing on the internet the other night a guy from the North Series. I ain't even sure what his name was, but he raced his way in. He got in on the shootout race. He won the shootout race, and he raced from dead last to win the race up there up north in the North Series. I couldn't even tell you what track it was.
Right.
I was amazed at how that shows you right there that if you get on a track that you can pass and you definitely have the faster car, even though we're evenly matched on the motors and. Pretty much the suspension and, there's a couple of things you can change, but there's not a whole lot you can do with this series. I mean, as far as shot combinations and stuff like that. So, I mean, it makes it show you that, I think this weekend they already got like 43 entries last time I looked. And I think, just in those 43 entries, I bet you there's 35 guys that have a chance to either win it or run the top five easy.
So do you feel it really does come down to the driver's skill? About being able to get the car into the corner right at the right time and pace and get off the corners. Is that really what it's about?
Oh, definitely, 100%. I mean, it's all about hitting your mark. I mean, because I can tell you when we tested up at Bronson originally, and then when we came back, I learned just from going there the first time to when we came back the second time, I learned, a different entry at Bronson, and I picked up two or three tenths. And even, even in qualifying, I tried hitting the same marks, but because at the location that we had practiced was like the middle of the 1 and 2, mid track instead of right on the bottom. That's right where the oil dry was. So it kind of screwed me up, so I couldn't really change my lineup because I knew where I had to hit my marks to be competitive. And then whenever the oil dry was there the first lap, I kind of tried moving down the second lap and the car was loose too. So I mean, really, yeah, I think it's real critical that you hit your marks. And it's kind of like, I mean, I hate to say it, this series is kind of like the IROC series. Of they had in the past international race of championships.
Yeah.
I mean, these cars are so equally matched. I mean, and that's basically saying that is because series runners like Ron Varney that basically he's made it so evenly matched that I mean, other than a transmission that might be a little bit different than some other guys, or, you can have a Brin training or a Keith in, or you can have a little bit different open rear end or a locked rear end. I mean, other than that, I mean, these cars, I think. That we could actually put these cars in a line, put numbers in a hat, and draw a fill, and say that that's the car you're going to drive this week, and put your setup on it, go racing, and I think it'd be about the same for everybody.
That's something I've always wanted to see. I've at the stock car level, something like that. The same thought had crossed my mind about the IROC similarities. I've always thought that you take in relation, and you people in Florida know what I'm talking about. If you took the Wayne Andersons and
yep.
Those kind of guys and the Schofields and just picked a car, and like, so they yep. weren't, and just see who, put them all in even cars and see who could do it. It would be a fascinating thing. IROC's a cool deal.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So
that was the reason why. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
As I was saying, that was the main reason why we got into this series is because I ran several Sunbelt races, and I always felt like I was bringing a knife to a gunfight, and with this here, I know what I got for a motor. I took it to United Speed World, one of my sponsors, and they dynoed it in and out. We leaned it out, richened it up. We got the maximum power you can get out of it, and it's still the same power as what everybody else has, pretty much within 2 to 3 horsepower.
And looking a little bit beyond Watermelon Capital Speedway, then you come back to New Smyrna Speedway. Now, that's a completely different animal. And I imagine there are going to be some sheet metal laying around that track when that one happens, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately. We all spend like $3,000 for these bodies. But when you go to New Smyrna with a newly paved track, and people don't really know what to expect because, I think that they don't realize how fast the straightaway speed is and how tight the corners are. And there again, like I'm saying, there's probably 10 to 15 rookies out there that haven't even been behind a wheel of a late model until this year. And, they're going to try to overdrive the corner because you have a tendency with these cars to try to overdrive the corner because you don't have the straightaway speed as like a super late model or my modified. So you basically got to make up the speed getting in and be able to pick it up right away. And what happens is, you get a guy on the outside of you that actually faster than you, you tend to see the drive it in deeper. Next thing you know, you're going to both be in the wall.
Yeah, and now have you any experience at the North Carolina tracks that you'll be going to later in the year?
Yeah, actually, I did some tests at Rougemont with a Hooters Pro Cup car. Birmingham, I personally don't have no experience on that, but my brother John ran all pro there a couple times. So we got some good setups, and with Chad with Left Hander helps me out a lot. We got a lot of good from left-handers for the tracks. But I would definitely say that, like Birmingham and, like I-70, I don't really have no experience there, but, I'm looking forward to all those tracks.
What is Rougemont like?
It's basically it's kind of like the old Sunshine. It's just got a little bit more banking in the corners.
Yeah.
But, it's real flat, straightaways, tight little bull ring.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be another one of those tracks like Bronson Similarity. Hard to pass. You're going to have to wait for the boy to overdrive in front of you, get up under him, and he goes from second to 20th in 2 laps.
Yeah.
You hate to be that because, a lot of guys out there I compete against, I consider them friends. I met probably like 15 to 20 guys that first race that I didn't even know, and now I could, call them and be friends with them because just after talking with them, they're all basically on the same level I am. They're trying to basically run ASA this year and maybe next year dabble in some ARCA deal and then eventually be in Busch. So it's like we all have the same, forte, basically. It's just a matter of, keeping the cars clean and being there at the end of the race.
There you go. Now, are you planning on, racing any of the Challenge Series races, or are you sticking with the Southern Division?
Well, no, like I said, we're definitely going to do the whole Southern Division. Out of my own pocket if I have to. I got a couple of social sponsors, and with this new tuning inspection, basically that gave me the ability to reach out, and actually now we have a spare car, so we're going to take both cars to Bristol and try to qualify for that Bristol race. That is a Challenge race,
right?
And then the week after that we go to Rougemont, which is the Southern Division. So even if I totally wipe out that car, because Bristol is not a real good track for if you do hit the wall, usually you're getting a clip or you're doing something major. So, that was the whole theory of if I had 2 cars, we'd definitely run that Challenge race. And then we're also going to – we're definitely having plans to run the Nashville race at the end of the year, which is a 9-points race, which that's like, you win a guitar. It's everybody's dream race to win that one.
Got that right.
Yeah, that's 2 tracks that I've dreamed about always racing on was Nashville and Bristol.
Yeah.
After talking at Lakeland, we had that the big car challenge. They had that with the modifieds last year. Kenny Schrader was actually down in the pits. And I'm from Illinois, St. Louis area, and I remember him as a kid going to him and getting his autograph. And I was joking with him, so he sat down near my pits and talked with me for like 45 minutes, all about his track. And I told him about how I was going to run ASA next year and that we're coming to his track. And he was really ecstatic about. I thought that was a neat that I'm originally growing up in that area, and now I'm going to be up in his area. And he actually told me that if they didn't have any plans that week for the Cup, he was going to try to actually be at the track. So I thought that was pretty neat.
All right. Yeah, that's exciting. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with the ASA Fast Lane show here. And I'll tell you, just as an aside, too, Rick Angies from our co-host on the Short Track America Real Racing USA show on Tuesday night, came up with a great idea last night after the show. It's something you and Partolo and the guys might be interested in. We think we're going to have a Sunshine Reunion show at the Snook River Grill one of these nights here in the summertime.
Oh, that'd be awesome, definitely. I mean, like I said, everybody, you know, I honestly wish they still had Sunshine open, because I would take my modified over there just to run it, just to bring back some old memories. Because that track growing up, I mean, you know, like we talked about before, the old Dave Fletchers and the Copes and Jimmy sure. and all them guys. I mean, it really made short track racing very interesting. And I think, you know, with you guys talking about it and publicizing stuff about short track racing, I got people hitting my website, you know, www.jeremygerstner.com. They're on my website. I have over 600 you know, just hits just this week, that people that I'd never even heard of or knew, but they knew me as a kid racing growing up at Sunshine, and now they're like, they couldn't believe that I'm still in the racing and that I haven't got married and got a family and I got out of the racing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's very cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll catch up there Saturday. You'll be up Friday. We'll be there on Saturday, and look forward to it.
Excellent. Listen, I appreciate it. Thanks again, Jack, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the track.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. All right, that was Jeremy Gerstner. Jeremy's from the St. Petersburg, Tampa, Florida area, and he's been racing since he was a little kid, and he's living the dream in the ASA Late Model Series. This is the ASA Fast Lane Show, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company Late Model and Open Wheel Modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847. Evergreen.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
All right, we're here with Travis Wilson on the ASA Fastlane show, and Travis is now living up in North Carolina. He's been racing in the ASA. He's originally from Florida, and he had a pretty good run out up at Bronson, and I know you're excited about going to Watermelon Capital Speedway. How's it going, Travis?
It's going pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Watermelon Capital. Never been there. Be honest with you, I haven't heard a bunch about it. Talked to a few buddies of mine that run there last year in the ASA race. We didn't get to go down there. So this will be my first trip there. I talked to a few buddies of mine. That's a pretty nice racetrack. Looking forward to it. Hoping to get a race finished this year. We've had some real fast race cars and just haven't been able to get the finishes out of it.
Yeah, I tell you, from what I'm hearing from some of the guys that have been up there testing, they've done some work on the track surface, and it's faster now than it has been in previous years.
That sounds great. Fast is good.
It should be a pretty fast track. Now, Travis, what we do on this show, especially in these first few shows, this is like our second or third show. I get lost with all this stuff, but we want to like let race fans get to know the drivers a little bit. That's one of the purposes of this show. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved in racing and a little bit about your racing background.
Well, I got involved in racing. My dad was a racer. He started racing short tracks in Florida, and he moved up to the ranks and eventually got to the top level there in Winston Cup and now Nextel Cup. You know, I've always been around it. Always, you know, kind of wanted to get into it, and I finally did get into it around age 15 or 16, started racing go-karts, just kind of worked my way up the ranks there. And here I am running ASA late models, looking to go further in the future.
Yeah, you started out where at Auburndale Speedway? Was that where you started out?
That's where I started running big cars. I run some go-karts before that over, you know, around the dirt track there, go-kart track. So when I started running big street stocks and stuff like that, I started at Auburndale Speedway, yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, your dad was obviously Rick Wilson, the NASCAR racer. And how did that, having, you know, your dad being that involved and that successful in a very, very tough sport, how has that helped you, and how did it help you get going, and did it help you?
Well, yeah, it definitely helped me. I mean, you know, I've seen the ups and downs of the sport. I've seen, you know, how he takes this racing business, and you know, I was trying to learn maybe from some of his mistakes and learn from some of the good things he's done, and you know, just listen to his advice on how to be successful in this business, because he definitely was successful in it, and hopefully I can definitely follow in his footsteps and do the same.
Yeah, so you didn't get a chance then over the time between Bronson and now this coming week. You haven't had a chance to get up there and do testing yourself. What do you do during the what is your regular deal? What do you work in the racing industry?
Yes, sir. I work at Chip Ganassi Racing. They have a few Nextel Cup teams, you know, David Stringer, Reed Sorensen, and Montoya there. Normally I'm in the shop with them, you know, doing mechanic work, whether it be, you know, whatever, washing cars, to changing motors, anything can do, anything they need me to do, pretty much can do it all, or at least I think I can. So, I do that, and, last week we run Toledo. So, not only do I run the ASA South, I run some of the challenge in the North. So, I'm all over the place. I'm not here working for Chip here in North Carolina. I'm racing somewhere.
Yeah, so how was the trip to Toledo, and how did that all turn out for you?
Toledo was great. It's one of the nicest racetracks I've ever been to. It's one of the fastest racetracks I've ever been to. We were fast. We qualified 10th, which in the Challenge Series, that's not too bad. I think we could even qualify a little bit better. Race got started. We were pretty good. Come in, took our tires. We were even better. I think we're one of the fastest race cars on the racetrack. Got into a little bit of trouble. Got into the Jesse Smith. They put us to the rear. And they all wrecked, and we had nowhere to go when I got into the wreck. So it was good. It's just we just need to finish the race. I think I've run two or three times this year and haven't finished but maybe once down at Lakeland. So just need to get a little bit better luck on my side and maybe make some better decisions to get me through these races, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, the how do you relate to the – I mean, you've only had one ASA South race, but – I'm just wondering if you notice that there's is the competition level tougher in the Challenge Series? Is what's different about the Challenge Series in the ASA South Division, for instance?
I think the Challenge deal is a little bit tougher. It's a radial tire, which it takes a few guys to get used to. Radial tire, totally different feel. If you haven't ever, that was my first time on a radial tire. If you haven't ever driven on a radial tire, you would not believe the difference. It's night and day. The competition's a little bit stiffer because I think they're a little bit race, bigger teams, a little bit well-funded, you know, more funded teams as far as development teams and stuff like that. But the South has got some talent in it, too. You know, it's going to be tough to go down to Watermelon Capital this weekend and make that race. I think there's 45-something cars entered, and I think they're going to start, I don't know, 26, 28. That's going to be tough. But they're both tough. I think the talent is a little bit different because I said the tire and maybe some of the teams having, you know, a little more development money in their pockets. But they're both pretty tough. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, and they're longer races, right?
Yeah, they're 200-lap races, maybe even longer on some of the shows.
Yeah. So how important now do you how do you approach these kind of like this 100 lap race, 125 laps?
125, yeah.
Yeah, 125 laps. How do you approach this as far as you know, the importance of qualifying good and just a general approach to how is it different approaching this 125 lap race as opposed to a 200 lap race?
I don't think it's going to be much different. The approach, it might be even a little bit tougher. I think in this 125 lap race down at Cordell, you're going to have to get your car spot on before the start of the race. In the challenge race, we have a halfway break where you come in and get your tires. You can make your adjustments to get your car where you need to be for the, you know, to for the last 100. And at Cordell, you're going to have to be spot on off the bat. You're not going to be able to come in and make adjustments and stuff. So if you're not good at starting a race, and tough stuff, you're going to have to deal with what you got. There's a lot of cars this weekend. Going down and qualifying for this race is going to be tough, I'm going to tell you right now. If you're not in the top 10 in points, I think they lock the top 10 in points in, you're going to start the race. Everybody else has to qualify on time. I mean, it's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of good cars there. You just got to approach it the same way you would anywhere else. Just go, and you got to be fast, and you can't make a mistake, especially qualifying. You got to be on your best stuff.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's over 40 teams, and my understanding is there's 28 cars going to start the race. Is that what you?
I think they start 28, no more than 28 on these short tracks. Yeah.
Yeah. So it should be it would seem that qualifying would be real important.
That's the most important thing. I'm not going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not nervous, but I'm a little uneasy about going down there with that many cars. We're taking a brand new car down there and never sit in this car. Never been to the racetrack, but at the same time, I'm confident in the stuff that my guys give me, and we're fast everywhere we go. I don't think we qualified out of the top 10 in an ASA race, and I can't remember how long, so I'm pumped up about going down there. But you're definitely going to have to be good. There's going to be a lot of good cars go home. You slip up a little bit in qualifying. I'll see you next weekend. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, it's funny. I've talked to over a dozen, maybe 15 guys here in the last either the drivers or members of the crews, and I cannot ever remember as much nervousness being expressed by drivers and teams going to anything of this nature. I mean, for a Busch race or like you know, when a couple of guys I know tried to go make you know, who didn't really have the funding, went to try to make cup races, you know, and there was that nervousness, but I can't ever remember a race of this nature with a traveling series like the ASA with this much nervousness, and it just shows you how much talent is coming to the game.
Well, you're right. I mean, this ASA deal is a big deal. I mean, where else can you go to a racetrack and find 40-plus late models? I mean, this is a big deal. This is some of the best of the best, and I mean, everybody wants to race in it, and there's only 28 spots. There's not much you can do about it. Nobody wants to run the Conti race. You want to be in on time, and like I said, you're just going to have to go out there and get up on the wheel. That's what it's going to take. Just get up on the wheel and get the thing in the show. And I'm confident that I'm not really even worried about it. I'm pretty confident in making the show. Just looking forward to it. I'm pumped up.
Cool. Now, is it driving these cars? These cars are light. And they're not as fast as say a super late model, and the crate motors they're I don't know what the speeds are going to be up there, but these cars are not necessarily like lightning fast in comparison to some other cars coming off the turns and going. It takes a while to build up some speed. Does this change the way the you have to approach the driving around the track?
Oh, I think so, big time. These ASA crate motor cars, you have to keep. It's all about momentum. Like in a supercar, if you're a little bit off in the center of the corner, you can jack the thing sideways and stand the gas and make up for it down straightaways. You can't do that in these cars. You lose your momentum, or you know, if you're out of the gas, you're just going to take you a lap or two to get the momentum up that you need to have. And matter of fact, I think it's a little bit tougher to drive these cars in a supercar or something with a little more horsepower. You really got to, I mean, it's all about handling. It's all about what the driver does inside the car. It's not about motor. I think that's what makes this series so popular. besides the saving money part, just the cars are so much closer in competition. It makes everybody, everybody wants to be in this deal.
Yeah. What kind of sponsorship? Who is your sponsors for this series?
I dropped a guy named Greg Cronny out of Akron, Ohio. Greg Motorsport. We really don't have a sponsor. We're looking for some sponsors. He basically funds it out of his pocket, some out of mine, and that's basically what we go with.
Yeah. So you have some space on that car if somebody's looking for a place to get some high profile recognition. They can put it on the side of Travis. What's your car number?
62.
There you go. Number 62, Travis Wilson. And I'll tell you what, man, we're looking forward to seeing you. And we'll be up there Saturday with you, and looking forward to it, man. We'll have a great time.
Man, I appreciate it.
All right. And from what I understand now, there's no back wall, so you don't want to go down in the creek.
Hey, I'm good with that. no back wall, that's one less thing you have to hit.
There you go, Travis. Good luck this weekend, man, and thanks for spending the time with us on ASA Fastlane.
All right, man, have a good one.
Bye-bye. That's Travis Wilson. Travis Wilson from North Carolina. Works Ganassi Racing during the week and goes ASA late model racing on the weekends. He races both the Challenge Series and the Southern Division. We'll be right back.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
Mr. Footlong Hot Dog Inventor.
When conventional wisdom said no one could make a hot dog longer than 6 inches. You dared to dream.
Dared to dream.
You knew the limitations of a regular size hot dog bun, and you ignored them.
Can't stop me now.
You made a 10-inch wiener, and people cheered.
Oh.
But you weren't satisfied. You said, wait, I think I can still give you 2 more inches.
Gotta want it.
And so the footlong was born. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Hot Dog Hero, because you gave every single one of us our fondest wish, a bigger wiener.
Thank you.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, we're here with Patrick Starpoli from, he lives in South Florida. He's another ASA racer, and this will be Patrick's first try at the ASA South Division. Are you excited about going to Watermelon Capital, Patrick?
Yeah, we're really excited. We went and, we're spectators at the first race up at Bronson, and it looks like a really good series to be a part of. They got a whole lot of competition, and, of course, they got, a pretty good car count, so I'm excited about being in that kind of field.
Yeah, I saw you up at Bronson. That's right. You were in the grandstands over there in Turn 4 watching. What'd you think of that Concy race up there, huh?
Yeah, was a pretty crazy race. I hope, you know, we don't find ourselves in that position, obviously, this time. But I think it was cool that they let the leader and the second-place guy transfer to the race.
Yeah, it was neat. Now, you've been racing in trucks down in Florida for the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
What is tell us a little bit about your background for people that don't, you know, a lot of people who follow the ASA and throughout the year never heard of Patrick Starpoli. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I first started racing go-karts. I was around 13 years old, which nowadays I guess kids start a lot younger than that. But, you know, we caught on pretty quickly. I raced go-karts for about a year, and then we moved on to the Cyclone cars down at Hialeah Speedway, basically like the pure stock division. And I did that for a little while just to get some experience in a stock car, you know, full-size car with bigger fields and stuff like that, learn how to pass. And then we got into the truck, and I ran the kids series for about a year, and then the we went with the adult series for another year after that. And we were pretty fortunate. We won a couple races, and about eight, actually, and, you know, just built up that experience and learning how to work on the race car, and we're going to try and apply that with the late model now.
Now, how much experience do you have in the late model at this point?
Well, actually, at this point, we've been working pretty crazy for the past month trying to get the car ready for this weekend. And actually, this past Sunday night, we went and practiced at Ponte Gorda. We got about, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours in, so not too much seat time in the car as of yet.
Yeah. And now, have you raced any late model racing at all?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
My first time in a late model, actually. So.
Yeah. Now, You handled yourself pretty good in the trucks, though, no doubt, and you've won some pretty good races. Have you won at Lakeland? I know that you were in tough competition up there. Have you won in the trucks at Lakeland?
No, we haven't won at Lakeland. We've been there, I think, 2 or 3 times now, and we've always run good there. I don't think I've finished worse than 5th in all the times we've been there.
Right.
But, yeah, just every time you go to Lakeland, you have the best guys coming out to race, and, you know, it was really fun racing against them. We were always up front mixing up with the leaders, and, you know, just certain things happen, you don't come out on top. But that track was a lot of fun to race that.
Yeah. Did you go to, when I know a couple of years ago, the Fast Truck Series went to Watermelon Capital in Cordell, Georgia. Were you along for that ride?
Yeah, that's when I was racing in the Kids Series. I think we qualified 2nd for that race, and then they had the invert. We had to start towards the back. But we made it back up and still finished 2nd. That was a cool track. Definitely nothing like we have here in Florida because they don't have a backstretch wall, obviously, and just the shape of the track is kind of weird, too. It was an interesting challenge.
Was it like, what's the shape like, say, compared to Ocala, which is a kind of odd shape, too?
Well, I think Ocala's got a bigger kink in the back straightaway than Cordell does.
Yeah.
Cordell's kind of got a sweeping back straightaway, and then the exit off of 4 is kind of tight, but the track's like a lot bigger than Ocala, so the two aren't really, you know, close.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, yeah, so what have you been doing other than doing your schoolwork and so forth? What have you been doing in the time between your last race and now?
Well, I've been keeping busy with school. I got a lot of extracurricular activities I do there and stuff, and I got to keep the grades up and stuff like that. But besides that, we've basically been trying to get this late model ready. It's taken a lot of work. We bought it, and it was originally meant to go super late model racing, so we've had to do a lot to get it to you know, comply with the ASA rules. But a lot of the stuff they have is for safety, and, you know, it's for good reason. Like, they have the plates that they want you to put around the fuel tank and the RSS light and stuff like that. So it's just to keep the racers safer. It takes a little bit extra work, but it's all worth it.
Is this a template?
Huh?
Is this like a templated car? They use templates in the ASA?
Yeah, they make you run the ABC body, and they have all kinds of templates and stuff. We haven't been through the tech process. And I'm not really looking forward to that on Friday because I heard it takes a long time for them to go through all the bodies and stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's an adventure, it looks like. You know, watching it, of course, not having a car in it is, you know, there wasn't any pressure on me, but I was walking around looking, and, man, this was quite the operation, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what are your expectations and like, what will you call a success at out of this first race?
Well, since we haven't, like, I've never been in the late model race before, and we only have very limited seat time in the car, I just think a success would be, you know, making it there, making it through practice, and getting in the show, and then just running all the laps so that, you know, you can get as much experience as possible.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking for something big, but if the opportunity comes along and, you know, we get to have a really good run, obviously I'll be the first one to take it. But just looking for the seat time right now, and then, you know, get better and learn about the car, because we obviously don't have too much time in it as of now.
Yeah, now I know you're good buddies with David Wilson. We spoke with David a little bit ago, and yeah. He's on tonight's edition of the ASA Fastlane show as well. And have you compared notes with David over on going to Watermelon Capital Speedway?
Yeah, we've definitely been talking about it. Me and him were both in that same truck race when we went there with the Fast Truck Series a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think we swapped the lead a little bit, but definitely hoping we could do that this time. He's been running, you know, the Supers, and he already was at the ASA race this year, so he's kind of got a leg up on us. But he always helps us out, and, you know, he's a pretty experienced racer, so he helps me as a driver. And hopefully this weekend I'll be able to, you know, be up there running with him.
Yeah, so now you'll get some practice laps before qualifying. You go up on Friday. What's the schedule as far as you know?
I'm pretty sure they have practice from 6 till 9 on Friday, and then they got a two-hour practice Saturday morning or something like that. But besides that, you practice, I think it's like around noon Saturday, and you get 2 hours, and then that's all for the rest of the day. And then they make you qualify, and then they impound all the cars. So if there's any of those like last-minute changes that people are so tempted to make, you're not going to be able to do that after qualifying. So that's maybe something there.
Yeah, it looks like... Yeah, it looks like there'd be quite a bit of practice time, actually. So you practice on Friday night at 6 o'clock, and then you begin the ordeal called tech, tires, and fuel.
Yeah, exactly.
And that should be pretty cool. Yeah. I know you're excited. Who are your sponsors for the ASA deal?
Well, actually, we don't have too many sponsors right now besides my dad's wallet, but I'm hoping that we can find some. Yeah. Pretty soon. We have a few couple good runs, you know, in the books, and then we'll try and go out and get some sponsors. And if they see we're a competitive team, hopefully we'll attract some.
Are you going to be doing other racing in 2007 other than the ASA South Division?
Well, they're saying that they're going to let the crate late models race over at DeSoto, I think, with their limited.
Right.
And I know Bobby lets them race over at Ponte Gorda with, you know, his late model races, so we're going to probably try and do some of those just to get the car dialed in when we're not doing ASA races.
Right.
And also I might try and, you know, do a few more truck races, because that series was a lot of fun also, if I can, you know, get a ride in it. We sold the truck, but still looking for a ride.
Yeah, I got you. So you'll be racing around South Florida in the time off. And now you've raced at New Smyrna when June 23rd comes around and ASA South Division moves to New Smyrna Speedway. You won't be a foreigner to that track, huh?
Yeah, definitely not. I'm looking forward to the Florida races. I know they're running New Smyrna and DeSoto's left on the schedule, and I've been to both of those tracks before.
Right.
So hopefully that would give us a little bit of an advantage heading into those places.
All right. I look forward to seeing you Saturday up at Watermelon Capital Speedway.
Definitely. I'll see you up there. Hopefully we can put on a good show for you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll talk to you then. And thanks for spending some time on ASA Fastlane. Tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Patrick Starpoli, and Patrick's kind of a unique guy. He's a youngster, but, you know, he's very, very cool, calm, and collected, and he takes when he gets on that track, he takes a very professional approach to it. We've watched him race many times and look forward to him having a good year in the ASA South Division. It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company of Tampa is your professional site development leader along the Gulf Coast of Mexico. From tree removal to complete land preparation, Evergreen Development Construction Company prepares your land purchase for complete development, including drainage, utilities, and road construction. One call gets it all. Evergreen Development Construction Company, 813-478-8847. And watch for the Evergreen Development Construction Company late model and open wheel modified at races near you. They're fast, and so is Evergreen Development Construction Company. 813-478-8847.
Evergreen. Welcome back to the ASA Late Model Show. It's we call it the ASA Fastlane. We've talked to a few of the young guns in this exciting new series, and I'm telling you, this is going to be one whale of a show at the Watermelon Capital Speedway in Cordell, Georgia. Short Track America, Karnak.com will be there to cover the races and interview the drivers, get lots of pictures for you fans, and hopefully, you'll join us back here next week at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Terry Wall, my co-host, will be back with us, and we'll cover all the news and that goings-on with the ASA Late Model Series, America's newest, fastest, most exciting short-track series. The ASA Fast Lane is brought to you by Evergreen Development and Construction Corporation. It's also brought to you by Carnac.com and also Dayton Andrews Dodge in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for being with us.
We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie, have some fun, you all. We're gonna do the St. Pete Boogie, have some fun, you all. Go down on Central Avenue, drink some alcohol. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really gonna have a ball. I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Just be doing